Strangers and Aliens, Episode 62, The Test of Time.
Welcome to the Strangers and Aliens Podcast.
Strangers. To boldly say what needs to be said.
Would you be a stranger or an alien? Or would you be a strange alien?
The truth is out there. I am your father's best friend's plumber. Superman.
Wonder Woman.
Heroes. Villains. Captain Picard versus Captain Kirk.
Do you think that there's room in sci-fi for God? The very first thing that God did was that he created something, so we have a creative God.
This is Strangers and Aliens Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Strangers and Aliens, where we talk about science fiction, fantasy, and imaginative fiction from a Christian worldview. I'm Dr. Jace, here with two other co-hosts, Ben Avery.
Hi, I'm Ben.
And Steve MacDonald.
Hi, I'm not Ben.
I think we've done that before.
Yeah.
I think Steve.
I think it was just as funny when we did it the first time, too.
It just keeps getting funny.
It does.
It is. And we are going to be having a very interesting conversation, especially considering that we're from different generations, because we are going to be talking about things that we loved when we were growing up and whether or not they hold up against the test of time.
That's now, the big question.
Now, for some of us, it's not that far away, our childhood, and then there's other people. Steve.
Yeah,
it has to go back, you know, to talk in Noah's time.
The dawn of time.
So, Steve, the Epic of Gilgamesh, does it hold up?
Actually, it's funny. We just read that with my kids.
That's right. I forgot you did that. I need to ask you how you did that, too. Like, liked it.
They enjoyed it.
So it held up, then. That's what you're saying.
It actually did. It was a tame version. If anybody knows the Epic of Gilgamesh, there are some risque parts. And this was a very tame retelling of it that really got into the hero aspect of it. And I think they really, you know, I set them up to make sure that they understood that this was the first hero epic. And, you know, it was done serially. So, you know, we read a chapter a day and each chapter covered a major part of the story. So it was pretty well done. And, they would ask for it.
Well, that's cool.
You know, and go back to it. And, so over the course of maybe a month, we finished it. And yeah, they really enjoyed it. But that's not what we're here to talk about.
Well, kind of was.
It's actually a fantasy story.
It fit the joke nicely.
It did.
No, we're here to talk about if it holds up or not, things from our childhood. And we each have five things that we liked when we were younger. And we're just going to answer the question, does it hold up? And if it does hold up, is it even better looking at it as an adult or not? And would you recommend it to anyone? And if you would, who would you recommend it to? So we're going to go around in the circle. We're all going to start with our number five and work our way to our number one. We'll spend a little more time on our number ones. that's really not sounding very good. But
yikes.
And I do have to say, it is kind of nice to have this a little more calm atmosphere for us to talk in.
I'm just glad I actually have my voice back.
That's right. Hey, that does remind me, Jace, tell everyone, when did your voice come back?
My voice came back on Saturday night.
Wow.
Yeah, that's timing right there.
Yeah, no kidding. In fact, even Sunday morning, it was fairly weak in that when I was talking with people in the morning, it was strained. And so I had to stop talking to people before I preached, or my voice is going to be gone. Fortunately, when I started to preach, I remembered all my good breathing techniques, and it helped a little bit. But by the time I was done, my voice was 100% back. So
that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I could not get out more than a whisper. It sounded ridiculous, but it was the truth. I had to teach all week without a voice.
So what'd you do there? Did you do your little whistle trick?
No, I actually had one of my students translate. I would whisper, and they would proclaim it to the rest of the class.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which doesn't. I know whispering doesn't help your voice, but it's all I could do.
Well, I don't know if you've listened to the entire episode at this point yet, Dr. Jace.
I haven't. No.
Yeah, it's a lot more chaotic than what we're doing right now. So, and part two, it got even crazier because at that point, Ben and Cody took off the kid gloves and went after each other a little bit. So,
yeah, it was a smack fest.
Yeah, yeah.
When you say smack fest, are you saying they're acting like girlish about it?
No, they were just doing the
like
smackdown.
Girlish men.
And then they started smacking down Steve a little bit too.
A little bit, but I deserved it. So.
It was funny though.
Man, I'm kind of sorry I missed it. I would have loved to have jumped in.
We have decided, Matt and I have decided we want to do more, but when we do it, it will not be seven people, and eight if you include Shazbot. But
wow,
we want to do some more things like that, crossing over and guesting and stuff like that. So hopefully your voice will be much stronger. When we do that,
yeah.
And we can.
I'd like to make my way over to Sci-Fi Christian just to make my presence known. My goodness, I've missed out twice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, technically, your voice is on their next episode, I think, with your Prometheus proclamation. But. But yeah, we need to get you over there and get them over here some more and some more official crossovers. I'd also like to see about crossing over with some other podcasts.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think that'd be fun. Because we do have the thing coming up in May with the theme week, what we're doing with the other podcasts. But I'd like to have some of them guests over here. Like the Game Store Prophets talk about gaming and stuff like that.
Yeah. So. Because they're at games.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Steve?
I think it would be fun to get all like 10, 12 podcasts and just have us all in the same room at the same time and just, dig right in.
I don't know if it'd be fun to listen to, though.
Maybe we could have a stick, and whoever has the stick can talk.
The conch.
The conch, yeah.
I've got the conch. I get to talk. All right, well, let's get started with our actual topic here.
This one's tough for me.
Is it?
It is, because I'm trying to decide how to draw the line, because there are some franchises and things we've talked a lot about. So yeah. Kind of like, should I bring those up or not?
Yeah, sure. I had a similar question. I think honestly though, this is a different conversation about them. So if you do bring it up, I don't think it's a bad thing.
Because I have, there's basically three, two of which I've talked a lot about that if I remove them, I still have a very solid top five. So that's what I'm trying to debate.
Oh, I see. I would just go with your favorites. I mean, go with the big guns. I mean, I left off some big guns mainly because I was hoping that you guys wouldn't.
I have only big guns.
And actually, Steve covered some of the ones that I left off because I heard his list. So we will start with Steve then. How's that sound, Dr. Jason? You can kind of figure out what one you want to
lead
off with. Just remember to save your big one for last, because I'd like us to spend a little more time talking about that and what you like about it and that kind of thing. All right.
So is the big one something that we like or something that we don't like?
Big one is the one that you think is either going to be your most favorite from your list or the one that you think has the most meat to talk about. All right?
Okay.
So, Steve, starting with number five for you, what is number five on your list of childhood favorites that we're going to talk about if they hold up or not?
Battlestar Galactica.
And does it hold up, Steve?
It's, I'm going to say yes, but it's difficult because, when you say Battlestar Galactica nowadays, people think of the new series and the Caprica series and, all that nonsense.
Okay, so take away the nonsense.
Yeah.
The take original, away the nonsense.
I think if you take it for what it's worth, for what it is, it does hold up. So, it's episodic television. It does have an overarching theme that, unless you count Galactica 1980, it doesn't really, get that good final ending with the characters that you watched. It doesn't have that. But it was before that time. You know, it was the type of thing where the 5-year mission, Star Trek's 5-year mission, do mm-hmm. they ever get to the end of it? Not in the original series. No, they don't. But the thing is, that's not really the main thing. If you took it away, it would just be, they would have a different goal. So, and here they're going towards Earth. That's their goal. And every single episode, you have that in the background of it. So you have that overarching theme. There's some stuff that didn't work. I don't think Boxy and the Muffet, the Daggett, I don't think that really plays well nowadays. You get that in a lot of those old series. You have the little kid that's thrown in there.
The kid and the pet, yep.
Yeah, the kid and the pet. So, you take that away. You take the episodes where everything relies on them away, and you get some good solid science fictiony episodes. Yes, it has the Mormon overtones, but they're so subtle that unless you're actually looking for the Mormon overtones, you don't get it.
Yeah, because I don't. I mean, I didn't. I should say, if you once it was explained to me, I was like, oh, okay, well, I see it there now that you've explained it, but I didn't catch it on my own.
When I was first watching it, I thought it was subtly Christian overtones because, at one point there's these points of light that are talking and saying, as we are now, you will become as you are now, we once were, which is straight out of Mormon theology. But the thing is, when I heard it, I was like, oh, so you're saying you, as a glorified being, as becoming this being that can't sin anymore, that type of a thing, almost akin with the angels, although the angels, did sin and fall. But, the heavenly paradigm we're replaced, so to speak, with this version of us that is, that's different enough that would work. So, when I was hearing it, that's what I was hearing because I grew up in a Christian home.
So, Steve, you say it holds up.
Yes, if you take it for what it's meant to be.
So with your adult eyes, though, is it better than it was with your kid eyes?
No.
Okay. Dr. Jace.
Because I see the Mormon stuff. Yeah.
Dr. Jace, as far as Battlestar Galactica goes for you, do you think it holds up? The original.
I've only seen 2 episodes of the original because Battlestar Galactica is one of the franchises I want to tackle all the way through, and so it's in my queue after Babylon 5.
Okay. So what you've seen, though, you're interested in watching?
Of the original?
Yeah, the original.
Honestly, it looks stupid. But
okay, so that'd be a no, then.
Yeah, it would be no, but I'd have to – my guess is that I'd probably have to watch a couple episodes in order to kind of process. Ooh, think Star Trek, the original series. Mm-hmm. Think Star Trek, think that way. And I would give it, I'm gonna plan to watch it all the way through to be able to judge all of the franchise. But what I've seen, it looks really dumb.
It'd be interesting for you because if you watch through the original series and then jump into the new one, it'll be interesting for you. It'll be a different kind of experience than for what we had where we grew up with that, or what a lot of people have where they didn't even see it. They never saw it when they were younger.
Yeah.
And just got the new series.
Yeah.
All right. And
to be honest with you, the only reason why I actually watched the 2 episodes, cause the guy from Bonanza was in it. That's the only reason.
The guy.
I liked him from Bonanza.
Lauren Green.
Yeah, Lauren Green.
Yeah. And I think when I look at it, I'm kind of on the line about it or on the fence because I think it kind of holds up, but it holds up only in that it was good for its time. I don't think it's as sophisticated as I would like right now. It's a nice diversion. I like watching an episode here and there every once in a while. And we do have some feedback from people who mentioned Battlestar Galactica too. All right, so Dr. Jace, what's your number 5?
All right, I'm going to do a little bit of cheat here, and I'll tell you why. I actually have 6, but I'm not going to go through them because I'm going to save the 6th one because we're going to do an episode just on this. My 6th one is X-Files.
Okay.
I know we're going to do a whole episode on the X-Files.
Someday. So
maybe more than that.
Yeah.
Because you had an idea to give us episodes to watch and like actually talk about individual episodes too.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that idea.
So I'm not going to really expound on that, but I could not mention it because it was a huge impact on me growing up.
All right.
So my number five is The Goonies.
Nice. Okay, so does it hold up?
I think so. I liked watching The Goonies, and of course, I love the adventure, and I love the humor, and there's just something – that speech when Sean Astin goes, "This is our time down here." You know, I'm like, I am so there with you. Forget about all the adults. I want to go, and we're going to make a difference because this is our time right here. And so I watched it again recently, and I still get excited about that time. I start thinking, yeah, that's their time up there. This is our time right here.
All right.
So I actually do. I mean, obviously some of the things are dated, but I mean, junk. I mean, it's just really.
It's truffle fun. Shuffle.
Yeah, the truffle shuffle is hilarious. Oh, the only thing, you know, I wish they would have kept the octopus scene in the movie. Because
really, you wanted them to keep that?
Yes, because otherwise, I always wondered as a kid. At the end, when they tell the news reporters there was an octopus, I'm thinking, oh, they're a bunch of liars. She just lied.
All right.
I mean, it looked a little silly. Obviously, that part would not have stood the test of time like the other parts of the movie did, because it's an obviously dated special effect and kind of puppet looking thing. But I think it made the movie make a little bit more sense.
Okay, so you think it holds up, but do you think it's better through the eyes of an adult?
I think that whenever I see Goonies, I always think of it through the eyes of being a kid. And I think that it captures the imagination of a kid. And I think that's where it might be a little bit different, in that this is you're talking about Battlestar Galactica. Those are all adults, so you can still relate to the characters, where these are kids.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I love the adventure, I'm more likely to relate to Lord of the Rings, because there's always a character, no matter what age range I'm in, that I can relate to in that franchise. But I think it holds up the test of time, but as much as I love it, I still see it. In order for me to really enjoy it, I have to see it through the eyes of a kid.
Okay. Steve, do you think Goonies holds up, that stand the test of time?
No.
No?
No. It's just, I mean, first of all, the name. It's just, it's too goofy, you know, the Goonies. It's.
Oh, but that's the charm.
That's the point.
That's the charm.
It's, I think it loses.
Slick shoes! When Sean Astin's character gets kissed by the head of the cheerleader.
Oh, man.
He thinks he's the other guy. I mean, come on, that's priceless.
I wanted to be Sean Astin at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was my character. He was my in character.
Mine too.
Oh, man. I have good memories of that movie. Going to see it in the theater. And I went with my buddy, Lance, and it was just the two of us. Like, we went, his mom dropped us off. And it was the second time I'd done that kind of thing. And Karate Kid Part 2 was the other time. And I do remember feeling a little uncomfortable because of all the language. They used the S word a lot in that movie.
Oh, yeah, they did. I do remember that.
And so that's one I don't feel like I can show it to my kids.
Yeah.
So in that way, through the eyes of an adult, no, it doesn't hold up, because I can't show it to my kids.
And I think when I originally encountered it, I was much older than either of you on your original encounter of it. So it didn't affect me the same way it affected you initially. So I think that's probably one of the reasons why it doesn't hold up for me.
For me, I had a group of friends that, like, almost all the main characters, there was a friend I could relate to,
mm-hmm.
and I was Sean Astin. I would take my friends and we'd go on adventures. I mean, if I would have had a map, I would have taken our group of friends and gone and find it. In fact, I made up stories. I had a whole group of my friends that we were going to go move to Michigan. We were living in South Carolina at the time. We're going to go move to Michigan because my uncle worked for the government and he was being arrested. And we were going to go and save them. I had this whole story worked out. I mean, the Goonies was – Sean Astin was me. Except I didn't have asthma.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't have asthma either. But that's what made me relate to him, though, was that he was not the big, strong guy. He was a he was a young, weak, weakish, you know, type of kid. But he had a big imagination and a lot of heart. So, you know, another movie similar to that for me is Explorers.
Yes.
I love that movie, too. And I really, again, related to the characters in that. So.
Yeah, me too.
All right. So I am going to go with... My number five is going to be the Godzilla movies. And I'm talking about the old ones. No, I'm talking about the old ones. Basically anything, you know, from the 60s and 70s. Mainly like the first one, Godzilla versus King Kong, that kind of era there.
Godzilla versus the werewolf, Godzilla versus Abbott and Costello.
No, but definitely Godzilla versus King Kong. And it's actually especially that one. That's one I have a very fond memory about watching with my dad. But I also have a fond memory watching Godzilla with my youth group and stuff like that. And just having fun watching them because they were so just off the wall. Just goofy. Even when they weren't meant to be, they were to us at that point.
Yeah.
So as far as if it holds up or not, I don't think so. My son likes them for the same reasons, that they're goofy. But they're so dated now.
I think the first one holds up if you look at it as, you know, a product of the Cold War and,
well,
you know, that whole type of a thing.
I agree with you there. And I actually think the first one holds up better for me as an adult watching it from a serious perspective.
Right.
And just knowing what it's about. But then you kind of throw in the King Kong versus Godzilla and stuff like that. It's just it was forgivable when, you know, in the 80s. Where things weren't too far removed from that. I mean, you had Star Wars that kind of blows away any special effects, but
yeah.
But now I watch them, I enjoy them, but it's one of those. It has to be a guilty pleasure. I don't recommend anyone. Like, if someone said, "Hey, you think I should watch a Godzilla movie?" I'd say, "Well, maybe there's one, you know, from later that's kind of good, but probably don't. You know, stay away from those older ones."
Yeah, The only good Godzilla film I've ever seen is Cloverfield.
Nice.
You know, I am a little excited about the new one that's coming out like next year or whatever.
Really?
I am. I think that they're sounding like they want to do it right. So we'll see. I like Godzilla. I like watching Godzilla movies, but it's a background kind of thing. I'll put it in when I'm working on something else. And or if my son and I are going to have a good laugh, you know. My number four is Robotech. Now, Robotech is interesting because I've been watching it again.
And again.
No, it's, you know, it's a serial soap opera type of thing. And so you're watching, you know, this kind of a continuing story, 80 episodes long or what, I don't know exactly. But I'm watching through these episodes and it's interesting. I have to give two answers to this. If it holds up or not, does it hold up for me? Yes, it does. It's still fun to revisit that story. Do I think it would hold up for like my son? I don't know. I don't know. And for a modern audience to look at Robotech, it's goofy. It's got a lot of goofy kid stuff from when they were porting it over from Japan and kind of tweaking it a little bit. Right. Music is terrible. Oh my goodness. The music is just so annoyingly awful to the point where I almost, like, if I want to recommend it to someone, I have to apologize for the music.
Nice.
You know, it just, and the voices and everything. But then the story is really interesting. It's a big, giant science fiction story that's interesting and intricate. And so, yeah, I have to do a maybe. I don't think it's better through adult eyes. And it opened my eyes for some of the kind of serial storytelling for me when I was younger. I hadn't seen anything like that where it's continued from episode to episode and really the characters changed.
Yeah.
The characters at the beginning in the first episode, they are completely different. at the end.
Yeah.
Because they've gone through so much and they've changed so much and grown. And see, that's cool.
That's one I have not gone back to watch because I didn't want to just like pick up an episode here or there. I wanted to be able to sit down and watch the whole thing again. And I haven't had the chance to. So that's something I'm looking forward to. And you know, maybe I'll be able to let you know if it holds up one way or the other.
Well, I started rewatching it because I was washing dishes by hand at night after my wife would go to bed because our dishwasher was broken for a while. And we finally fixed it. And so now I've not been watching it as much. But,
so you'd watch it when you were doing dishes?
Yeah, I'd bring in my iPad and set it up on the table.
Oh, okay.
And then I'd watch it while I was doing dishes, and get in two episodes. And we've got five kids, so we got a lot of dishes. So,
wow.
Yeah,
it's a lot of dishes.
Also, you're watching a TV show while you're doing them. So,
yeah.
Well, a good transition from Robotech for me.
Wait, before you do though.
Oh yeah.
Are you familiar with Robotech, Jace?
I am, yes.
Do you think it holds up or not?
Not through the eyes of an adult. As a kid, yes. I don't think it's as... You see the imperfections and the weird things and the things that don't go so well when you're older.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so... Whoops, sorry about that. All right, so... What were we going to say then? Your transition?
My next ones, it's... There are lump sum because I watched them pretty much back to back to back when I was a kid. They're pretty much the same franchise for me, even though I know they weren't, and you'll see why. And they were the cartoons G.I. Joe, Transformers, and Mask.
Okay.
I always associated them as my toys and my cartoons.
Yeah.
And so, and for me, they pretty much were. Transformers was more machines, G.I. Joe's was more men, and Mask was kind of in between. So they're always intertwined for me.
So that's your number four?
Yes.
Is those three?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're pulling a Steve, man.
my number four is every cartoon since 1950s. Yeah.
You've done your number five and your number four, and you've mentioned five titles. Okay, so
wait. Isn't G.I. Joe and Transformers both by Hasbro?
They are. And technically speaking, you could almost say they belong in the same universe because there was a crossover between them.
Marvel Comics.
There was.
And well, no, in the cartoons, there was a crossover.
Yeah, was there really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
But that. In my mind, G.I. Joe, Transformers, and Mask were all the same, just different stories. I mean, this is how I grew up because I watched them back to back to back. They were my, you know, I don't know. That in my mind, they're always connected.
See, for me, I couldn't make that connection, and here's why. The Transformers were vehicles that people were getting into, but they, when they transformed into robots, were just as tall as my G.I. Joes. Meanwhile, the Mask guys are only as tall as the G.I. Joe guys' waists. So for my toys, they couldn't intermingle very much or very well without some, like, storytelling.
Yeah, but my G.I. Joes were a lot smaller than your G.I. Joes.
No, I didn't have those G.I. Joes. I didn't have the Barbie-sized G.I. Joes.
You didn't?
No. I wasn't that old.
Wow.
No.
Okay.
No, when I was first starting to get toys, I'm old enough that my first action figures were the first round of Star Wars action figures.
Yeah.
And I had a big Jim, but I didn't have like the G.I. Joe who was, you know, 10 inches tall or whatever.
I think one of my first was Dr. McCoy, the 10 inch.
The Mego?
From Mego.
I had Mego Super Friends.
Yeah, I mean, that's right.
So, Ben, see, I thought a little bit outside of the box because most of my toys were only G.I. Joe and Transformers because my parents weren't hip enough to know what Mask was.
Yeah.
So, basically, I made some of my G.I. Joe characters Mask guys because they had cool masks.
That works.
I translated the powers that I saw in the cartoons to the mask that seemed similar to some of my G.I. Joe guys.
Yeah, what I did was I said they were aliens. And so my mask guys were aliens. They were humanoid, but not humans. And that's why they had vehicles that were, you know, just the right size for them.
Wow. So imagine, now we can see now why we're writers, because of these imaginations where we come up with this stuff.
Oh, my G.I. Joe play would last for weeks. I would leave them in place, and I would, to be continued, And I would continue the story for weeks. And I would change their names, too. I used to put Flint's head on the Bat Trooper's body.
And, you used to take off their back and change their arms and legs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, definitely, you're right. This is a part of my formation as a writer.
When my friends came over, we did a G.I. Joe Transformer all kind of tournament. And what we did was we put all the figurines and all of the vehicles, and it was a draft. We had a draft where we could select, and we went around.
We did that too.
And we built our teams, and we actually had a war against each other. And it was basically like the movie, the game Risk, where you just try to conquer one or the other. Well, I always won because I out-strategized the other players. Like, I remember I allowed three of my favorite characters and one of the vehicles to be captured. And then they captured him, and he took him into his base. And then I blew him up. And so I blew up all his people. So it was a Trojan
horse. Wait.
It was a Trojan horse.
Wow, that's kind of...
That's evil.
Bad, yeah.
I didn't really blow him up.
No, I know. It's not that you blew up the toy. I'm saying it's bad that you, like, I'm going to sacrifice these people. They're just going to... I'm going to send them in and sacrifice them and destroy... I mean, that's harsh.
It's about winning, Ben. It was about winning.
Wow. Yeah, you tell yourself that, man.
Yikes, I don't want to play any games with you.
Well, I'll play games with you, but I don't want to, like, actually go to war with you. Cause... okay, so did you even say, though, if they held up, revisiting them?
No, we never went there. And they absolutely do not hold up. I mean, you're watching them, and their shirt color changes. Their mouth doesn't move. Ugh. One guy goes from being a white guy to an African-American guy and back to a white guy again. And Transformers, the same thing. Masks, even worse. They really don't hold up. Although, I would say they're still better than the movies they've made about them.
My kids lasted through the opening credits of G.I. Joe. And that was it. They were like, do we have to watch this, Dad? So.
And the truth is, actually, in my opinion, G.I. Joe's, the original G.I. Joe movie is still, when I say original, I mean the one that came out a couple years ago, is still better than any of the Transformer movies.
Oh, absolutely.
And what's sad is that the cartoon G.I. Joe movie is still better than the original G.I. Joe movie.
Wow. Okay, number four for you, Steve.
You know, I gave you my list before, but I changed it.
Okay.
Number four for me is the Rankin and Bass Hobbit cartoon movie.
Ooh, good one. Good callback.
Yeah.
And does it hold up?
No. But you know what? It is truer to the story than the new Hobbit movies that are coming out. So if you're like me and you're not a big fan of all the changes that were made to the new Hobbit movies, at least you have this to go back to.
Well, you have this as a cliff notes to go back to. I mean, the plot points are there, yes, but I don't know if I would say it's true as far as like character design and stuff like that for some of it.
But the story, the plot points are truer to the actual book. I don't think it holds up, but it was so influential to me for years. I mean, I actually have physically two of the albums with the big picture pages that you turn that are the size of the actual record. I have two of them in my collection. So I mean, you know, I'll still listen to it every once in a while just because you have to. It has so many good memories for me growing up and doing that stuff that – even though it's a horrible version of it, it still has those good memories for me. So I don't think it holds up at all, but it just still has good memories for me.
Yeah, I have good memories too with it. I think it holds up maybe a little better than you think it holds up. My kids actually sat through it, enjoyed it, talked about it afterward. They liked it. So, Jace, what do you think about it?
No.
All right, so let's move on to our number threes. Steve, let's start with you, Steve. How's that sound? What's your number three?
My number three is Star Wars.
All right.
See, I was going to have it, of course, but I knew one of you would have it.
I figured, yeah, but I figured I'd throw it in.
Yeah, that's why it's not on my list.
Yep.
Yep. So does it hold up?
I have to say no.
What?
Looking at it through adult eyes and especially through, you know, a Christian lens, now that I have a better understanding of theology, there's just some nonsensical parts to it.
It's not a theological movie, though.
But it is. You know, the Force is this yin-yang concept, this, dualistic energy that, you know, it's supposed to be neither good nor bad. There's the balance to it. And we've talked about this other episodes where I personally, I don't feel that, you know, at the end of the six movies, that balance is the main theme of the movie. It's about the redemption of Anakin Skywalker, which, if you think about it, doesn't really happen. And there's so many things in the original Star Wars where, you know, it I can still sit down and watch it and you know, have good feelings about different parts of it.
I disagree. I think it does hold up, but
I think that the only Star Wars movie I would say I don't think necessarily holds up as well would be Return of the Jedi. And that's because of the Ewoks and the really unrealistic fighting scenes that are really just silly. But I think Empire and Star Wars do hold up. Return of the Jedi, I think it still holds up, but holds up less than the others. Yeah.
All right, Dr. Jace, you're number three.
My number three is Quantum Leap.
Nice, interesting. Okay. And revisiting, does it hold up?
Well, I don't want to say why I picked it, but the, you know, Quantum Leap, I watched it when I was, I don't remember, middle school maybe? I don't remember now. But it was one of the only, it was one of two TV shows that my parents would let me stay up past when everyone else was awake, because I think it came on at 10 o'clock on Wednesdays, maybe?
It was like that and Baywatch and nothing else?
No, I never watched Baywatch. We know what you watch, Steve. Anyway, it was Quantum Leap, and I remember watching him leap through, and it was really interesting. It was that concept, free will versus predestination. As far as does it hold up or not, some episodes I think hold up very, very well. Some of them are very, very interesting. I think, though, the 90s fashion really does not hold up. It's really, really awful. So I think that when he's like back in time, that part is that holds up. But whenever they show the futuristic parts,
yeah,
that does not hold up.
Future in the 90s did not look good.
90s in the 90s didn't look good.
Well, yeah, but future in the 90s looked worse, I think.
It really did.
Oh, like Tech War. I don't remember that show at all, but oh. Well, okay, so Quantum Leap. I like that show. I think it holds up. Steve?
I was never a big watcher of it, so I can't say.
Okay. Then you shan't say.
I shan't.
All right.
Wow.
All right. We're back to me with number three.
Yep.
Okay. My number three is, I'm just going to go with Battle of the Planets. Again, it's another anime series. I didn't know it was anime when it was coming out. I just knew it was something about space and superheroes, and I liked it. And I've watched some episodes with my kids. They kind of like it too. Do I think it holds up? Not really. Especially the American version. You know, they added in Seven's Arc 7.
Yeah.
Who it turns out actually Shazbot and Seven's Arc 7 are buddies. They're Facebook friends, but
like related.
So that's kind of cool. I've been able to like connect with a childhood hero, but anyway, it's formative for me, and it captured my imagination when I was younger, but it does not hold up as well, you know, as like Robotech or something like that.
Yeah. And the thing is that you've watched Battle of the Planets. So you have all that in your head, And then you say to yourself, well, it's sort of like a watered-down version of this original thing. So you go and you try to watch the original thing, and it's just different enough that it's like, well, it's tough to process. You know,
yeah. And the original was more of like a soap opera type of thing, where it did continue from episode to episode, very much, very overly dramatic. I mean, just, you know, the wild emotions and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll watch it as a diversion, maybe, but not so much anymore. So Battle of the Planets, don't think it stood up, and don't recommend it to anybody.
Right. I will not waste my time.
Do not. You don't have to worry about it. In fact, I don't know how you would. It's collector's items. Like, you want to watch it, you have to go on eBay and buy it for $100. Like,
gosh, I'm so glad you warned me.
You can see him on YouTube.
I almost bought him.
That's true. You could get him on YouTube, but that's not legal necessarily. So.
It's YouTube. It's legal. Everything's legal on YouTube.
Yeah, we'll not go there right now.
Is that where you watch? Is YouTube where you watch Baywatch there, Steve?
Steve wasn't into Baywatch. He was into Baywatch Nights.
No. I was more into Charles in Charge.
Okay, so that was my number three. Let's do some number dos. Star Wars comic books. Not Star Wars movies. Star Wars comic books. I loved them as a kid. I think they do hold up, but I wouldn't recommend them to everyone because some of them are pretty weak. But there's some interesting stuff they did there that they were doing it without Lucasfilm telling them what to do. I think it was more they were having Lucasfilm tell them what not to do.
Yeah.
So, like, they were told, you can't have Luke Skywalker come face-to-face with Darth Vader.
Right.
For the 3 years between Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back.
So Han Solo came face-to-face with them, and then they had a flashback with Ben Kenobi came face-to-face. And
they'd have Luke and Darth Vader just miss each other.
Right.
You know, like
I want to see an alternate universe where Darth Maul takes on Darth Vader.
There is an alternate universe story where Darth Maul takes on Darth Vader.
There is?
Yes. I don't know where you can find it, but it was a comic book through Dark Horse.
Cool.
Kind of a what if type of thing. Yeah. So, okay. So that's for me, Star Wars comics. Did you guys read them at all?
Yeah, I did, actually.
The first 50, I would say, of the 107 that there were. I think there was an annual or two there, too.
Yeah.
But I think the first 50 were, if you're a Star Wars fan, they're very readable. And if you can get through the 50, it starts to set up characters and situations where they play more off of that than the stuff that you would see in the movies. So I would say after the first 50, if you're that interested in it, then go and you know, do the other ones. And they have those big collected omnibus versions. I think they have to do like 20 issues in one binding. So
yeah,
you know,
and
easy to pick up.
And they have some, like, there's the character Hero, I think, or Kiro. He's from a water world, and he, you know, they keep coming back there like every 10, 12 issues and bringing in that character again. And those were, especially the ones right after Return of the Jedi, were really interesting to me because it's like, okay, here's some continuing stories. You know, they had this whole war going on after Return of the Jedi that was this whole story arc. And it was all wrapped up and with nice bow in that one. I liked it. I liked it a lot. All right, so who would like to go next with their...
We're rotating, so I'm always in the middle. That's fine. I'll keep going. My number two is the first Ninja Turtle movie, Teenage Ninja Turtles.
Wow.
I love that movie. When I was younger, that movie got played. And I'm not someone who watches the same movie over and over and over and over again, but there was something about that movie that just caught my attention. I watched it probably a good 100 times in one summer. Our VHS, that thing had to have been, I just, you know, Splinter, you are unique among your brothers. You know, he has, I am here, my son.
And so, and guess who's not preaching on Sunday now?
Yeah, we broke him.
And then, the reason why I'm obviously a big Ninja Turtle fan.
Yeah.
And for me, the best movies, or the best Ninja Turtle movies are when they center on Raphael and his relationship with Leonardo, and not in reverse order, because he is the main character, in the sense that he's the rebel. He's the one that doesn't fit in. He's probably physically the strongest one of all the turtles, and yet Leonardo, the responsible leader, is always kind of in charge, and there's always this conflict between them. And that's why I actually like the animated one that they did, TMNT, because they actually face off, and they finally captured it. Leonardo thinks he's going to take Raphael, and Raphael knows he can take him. And so they get into this big fight, and Raphael wins. And I liked watching the cartoon, but it frustrated me because they always made Raphael just the sarcastic one, but not really the leader or have the bravado that he really does. And that original movie, where Raphael and Leonardo had a fight, and then Raphael gets in a fight, and there's this will he live or not, and this kind of tension and reconciliation between these brothers. And I think this movie impacted me on a lot of levels, and I think there's a little bit of reason why, because I think with the turtles, each of those turtles kind of, I can identify with a certain part of both of them. I kind of feel like they're pieces of my personality, but personally I feel like there's that conflict between my responsible leader, big brother, I'm in charge, but I got to do the right thing, and then that no, I'm going to do what I want to do, and this conflict, that's a conflict I related to strongly as a preteen. Am I going to be the responsible one, or am I going to be the rebellious one?
Okay, do you know how that ties into one of my choices, though? That is the exact same dynamic as Mark and Jason on Battle of the Planets. The exact same dynamic, and the exact same connection for me was, the guy who's responsible and trying to do what's right, and then the other guy who's impulsive and just, we're going to do what works.
Yeah, and we've talked about this. There's also that comparison of
Superman Cyclops and Batman and
Cyclops and Wolverine. Mm-hmm. There's a reason, and the problem is I'm kind of split in between the two, because especially when I was a preteen, I was a little bit of both. I was the responsible one. At the same time, I'm like, you know what? Forget all of you. I'm going to do my own thing. That movie really tapped in to something when I was that age that I really, really related to. When Raphael's like, sorry, I didn't bow before a great leader. When he gets all this kind of, I just love the conflict between the two.
So it holds up?
I think it holds up.
And I can't say, because I actually haven't seen that first movie. I've seen the second movie, and I've seen the cartoon that you're talking about, the animated movie, which I thought was fantastic. But
yeah, I agreed. I thought the recent cartoon movie they did a very good job. The second and third movies didn't. I wouldn't say they held up, but that first one, the voice of Raphael, of the old Ninja Turtle cartoons, is actually a friend of mine on Twitter. But now he's the voice of Donatello on the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle cartoons.
Wow.
So anyways.
Steve, do you think it holds up?
I think it does. I mean, I came into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, when the comic book was coming out. I think I have like issue 3, and it was just because it was Ninja Turtles, and I didn't buy issues 1 and 2, and then all of a sudden it was huge, and I was like, wait a minute, I gotta get on this train. And it was just fantastic, the storylines and the depth of the characters and the richness of it for maybe a dozen issues, and then it started to sort of to veer off into other territory. But yeah, the cartoon, when I was out of high school at the time, but it was that type of thing where it was Teenage Ninja Turtles. It was this independent comic book company, and they have a cartoon. It's not Super Friends. It's not Spider-Man and his amazing friends. You know, it's this completely different thing. And to watch the progression from these, you know, this just these two guys that put out a comic book, and then all of a sudden to see it so huge, and they get, you know, a major motion picture and huge actors like, you know, Vanilla Ice to be in their stuff. That it was just fantastic to see that progression. And I think the first movie was a big high point for that whole thing.
Okay. So what's your second to last, your penultimate?
My penultimate. Well, I do want to go back because I'm sort of doing my list as we go along, and I added some stuff. And
no, you can't add. You only get five.
I know, but I just wanted to mention something that sort of goes along with something else. And I would have rather have talked about this thing than the other thing. When we talked about Battlestar Galactica, I was sort of saving Buck Rogers to talk about. And thinking about it, I'm like, there's a lot of the same criticisms there.
Yeah.
So, I'm just going to sort of tuck Buck Rogers and Battlestar Galactica into my same thing there, because they came out roughly the same time, and et cetera, et cetera.
So your penultimate then?
My penultimate is Star Trek: The Original Series.
Does it hold up?
I think it does. There's so much that's dated, but the thing is, it's because it was so influential. You know, we have things that are smaller than communicators now, but it's because they had communicators then. You know, we have the just so many. I mean, there's a tricorder type device coming out later on this year, which is like, you know, it's just it's amazing how influential that show has been. And to project back and say, look at all the stuff that we have now because people were inspired and influenced by that show. The stories, a lot of them still hold up. And interestingly, in such a humanist show, you still get these little glimpses of, you know, someone had a Christian worldview or had a Christian influence that they wanted to do something with. And Roddenberry, you know, for good or ill, allowed little hints and little things like that to get in there. So, you know, yeah, like in
I think that's a product of the time.
It could have been,
because you had, you know, the different Western stuff on there that had the definite Judeo-Christian ethic behind them, because the writers were just tapping into that Midwest, Americana.
But I don't think he needed to have it in there. And no, for whatever reason, it snuck in there.
Jace, do you think it holds up, Star Trek: The Original Series?
I think it does, but I think it holds up for different reasons. I don't think it holds up like it did when it came out. I think it holds up because it's so iconic, and that it's more of a, you know, because of its longstanding. And if Star Trek, if only the original series was ever created and nothing else came out of it, I'm not sure people would look at it the same way. I think, though, that because there's this huge franchise beyond it, and that's the originator, I love a good portion of the shows, but obviously the technology and obviously the special effects are much, much different now than they were then.
Yeah. But, although they have done the remastered episodes.
Yes, yes they have. I've seen those. But I think they hold up.
Except when it doesn't.
There are moments when it doesn't, like the little walking carpet alien didn't work very well. I know that's one of William Shatner's favorite character or favorite episode, but I think it does. I love it. I mean,
And I agree. There's not much I can say that would add anything. So, okay, so we're at our last one. We're gonna spend a little more time talking about our last ones just to kind of explain what we like about them and stuff like that. But you want to start with you, Dr. Jace? What's your last one?
My last one, which you probably know, is The Next Generation. Star Trek Next Generation.
And does it hold up?
I think so. I mean, I think for the same, you know, there are some things that have changed and they're a little bit outdated, but I think that the acting was so strong. I think that the the franchise, there's so much richness there that, yes, I think it holds up. You know, this was the other, I said Quantum Leap, this was the other show that I stayed up late into the night watching, even on weeknights. It is the show that kind of really got me into sci-fi. You know, I'd seen probably, you know, Star Wars and different things like that, but it was Next Generation that just captured my imagination that, wow, there's all these different types of stories.
Right.
You know, I think we've mentioned this before. I think a lot of people have stolen ideas from Star Trek to make up individual movies out of their concepts.
Did you get into Next Generation starting with the first episode? Or did you get into it a season or two in?
You know, I don't remember. I really don't remember. I do remember I got so excited. I believe it was the end of season three, beginning of season four, when Jean-Luc Picard got captured by the Borg.
Oh, yeah.
That was the pinnacle of my experience. So I was in before that happened because I'd had a whole history of watching them. I don't remember. See, my uncle worked for the Fox affiliate, so I was very aware because it was on syndication.
Yeah.
That Fox was going to be carrying it in our area. So I knew about it very early on. I just don't remember when I heard it, when I started watching it.
Yeah. I think it holds up, but really only if you're starting like midway second season. The first season I have a hard time watching. The pilot episode I taped on TV, and so nice. I watched that over and over again, and it was the only thing we had, you know, as far as that kind of programming goes. So we watched it and loved it, but looking at it now, after having Deep Space Nine and after having Babylon 5 and after having Farscape and all those other things, Next Generation, the first season especially, it just doesn't, to me, doesn't hold up as well.
Well,
but once you put Jean-Luc Picard in there, he elevates everything anyway.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think that the first season there, I think a lot of it came down to the camera angles, the way the lighting.
And the pacing, too.
Well, that's part of it. That's part of the editing, the whole kind of production part of it, I think, is almost like they were trying to copy elements from the original that just didn't work in this time frame after people were experiencing seeing something different. And so I think they finally started to kind of get their own style, so to speak. So for me, I kind of see that as part of the time and part of the era.
Well, but also they were figuring things out, and that's the thing. I think that Next Generation, if it was starting right this year, it wouldn't last. It would be canceled after a season because it wouldn't have the chance to, like, figure out who these characters are.
Especially if it's on Fox.
Yeah. You know, and so we got the first season. We watched the first season because there's nothing else. We got to know the characters. And then as we were getting to know the characters more and more, the episodes were getting better and better. And it just got stronger and stronger. And to the point where, you know, that last episode of the series is one of the greatest episodes of sci-fi television.
It is. They're very, it would definitely, it might be number one. It's maybe definitely top five best series ending episodes I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I'd put it up there on the level of MASH. Of
I can't think of anything that it would hold a candle to.
That
would hold a candle to it, I should say.
Yeah, those are the two epitome of endings that I can think of.
Yeah, MASH is that's pretty fantastic, actually. I mean, that's a really well. I mean, that's a great that's 2.5 hours of television right there.
That's a phenomenal ending. It's the only one, in my opinion, that I can think of. And that's something, that's an episode maybe we can do on series endings. But those two, in my mind, are leaps and bounds higher than most of the films TV shows I've followed.
So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Steve, you're with him? You wouldn't say no? I'm with him.
I think I'd say yes.
All right. That's better than not saying no. So, all right. What's your final episode of the list, Steve?
My final episode of the list is pretty big.
All right.
And it's sort of wide ranging. It is Marvel Comics from 1984, Secret Wars, to right before the Mutant Massacre in 1986. And that stretch of time, you get 2 or 3 years worth of comic books that are the pinnacles of some of the runs of those comic books. You get the New Mutants, you get the X-Men, you get Fantastic Four, you get all these awesome, you know, wide-ranging stories. You get this fantastic stuff, and it basically all starts at Secret Wars, where you get all these characters coming together, and it's sort of like a reset button. And after that, you see them pulling together, you see them grouping together much more, and doing things that are, you know, just it just makes it so much more of a cohesive universe. When I was getting into comic books, these are some of the first ones that I ever started to look at, started to read, started to buy. And, you know, Secret Wars and Alpha Flight came out right around that time. And it was just so many wonderful, good stories are being told. And the universe just seemed like it was expanding every month. Even the issues, even the series that you didn't like, you would sort of want to know what was happening in them, because it added to the weight of this universe that was growing. And it all started to go wrong when they realized that you could do these yearly crossovers where you are sort of forced to buy, you know, multiple issues of comics you didn't want just to get an extra chapter of this storyline.
Well, when was Secret Wars 2?
Secret Wars 2 was in the middle there, and that's the only caveat, is the Secret Wars 2 issues you could lose. And it would make these like an A plus stretch of comics. The Secret Wars 2 is sort of like a meteorite leaving a huge crater in the middle of this thing. And I know some people like Secret Wars 2. Some people are sane. So
I am a fan of Secret Wars 2. That is my nerdy little secret.
I know.
Okay, so let's go through this though. Secret Wars.
Secret Wars.
Secret Wars was a maxi series, 12 yeah. issues.
12 issues.
It started in, when, 84?
84, yeah.
Okay, so in Spider-Man's comic book, in 1 month, he's in his regular costume and he disappears at the end.
Right.
The next month, he is wearing a black costume and he is back from wherever he disappeared to. He's been gone for a while. And they say, if you want to know why this change happened, you have to read Secret Wars.
Right. And they
Fantastic
don't tell
Four.
You for episodes.
They disappear at the end.
Right.
The next issue, they are back and Thing is not with them.
Yeah. She-Hulk has taken his place and you
don't know
why.
Yep. Okay. But all you have to do to know why is read Secret Wars for 12 months.
Right.
That's it. So if you are a Fantastic Four fan, you are committing to one other book.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then at the end of that, you know, he had all those changes and stuff. So Spider-Man gets his black costume. Thing stays in that universe. I have that run of the Thing on Battle World. It is an awesome superhero fantasy.
Yeah.
It is cool.
Yeah.
So, all right. And so then you have, you said Secret Wars 2 happened before the end date.
Yes. Happened in 85.
Because Secret Wars 2, they said, hey, Secret Wars was a hit. Let's do it even bigger. We'll only do it for 9 months, but every month we'll have 4 or 5 or 6 other comics that tie in that you have to buy if you want to read the whole entire epic.
Right. And instead of having a huge battle royal with all your favorite heroes and favorite villains, the ones you love to hate, you have this godlike being in a fish out of water story.
in every single issue of every single crossover, trying to figure out why is humanity good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just, I understand that you like it.
You do? I don't think you do. I think you know that I like it, but I don't think you understand
that you like it. I don't understand why you like it. Because if you look at it in the context of all the other runs, it's an intrusion into the storylines, into all the other things.
But here's why I like it, because I don't see it as an intrusion. I wasn't reading those other runs. So for me, it's just this kind of big collection that goes through everything.
I know.
But it goes through ROM, Space Knight. Yeah. It goes through X-Men. It goes through Micronauts.
Micronauts.
Yeah. Okay, anyway.
It's horrible. So anyway, and right up to in X-Men terms, the early 200s, there were some interesting storylines being started there. And then there was this thing called the Mutant Massacre, which was sort of like the big mutant crossover, the first big mutant crossover where, the X-Men, the New Mutants, it went into Power Pack, I believe, and a bunch of different things.
It went into Thor.
Yeah, Thor. And it was just invasive enough that you were just sort of like, this storyline isn't interesting enough to have to buy all these issues, but you did anyway. And then a year later, they did, the same thing with the, I forget what the name of it is, but, they just continued doing it. Every year. And that's when I just started to say, okay, you're jacking up the price of comic books, first of all. When I started reading comic books, they were 50 cents. And then, a couple of months later, they were 60 cents. And a couple of months after that, they were 75 cents. And then a year or two after that, they were $1. And you're like,
oh, they were changing paper stock and they were doing,
Yeah, but going through it at the time, I should probably do an episode on this by myself or something, because going through it at the time, you were being forced to buy this bad printing process, sometimes bad paper. The paper was different than the paper that you were used to in a comic book. Yeah, sometimes the covers looked a little bit better and there was a little glossier or something, but I didn't care about that. I cared about the bottom line, my dollar. If I could buy 10 comic books or 8 comic books, I'm going to buy 10. And now I can only buy 8 or 7.
So, 84 to 86, does it hold up?
84 to 86, it certainly holds up, especially Thor. If you go to Secret Wars first and then go to the Spider-Man episodes, the Spider-Man issues after that, New Mutants.
Is this where X-Factor started? Or was that before this?
X-Factor was, I think it was right in there. Because
that was before Mutant Massacre, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, it was. Yeah, you're right. And they had a resolution on the whole Phoenix character, and they returned Jean Grey. Classic X-Men started coming out at that time, which retold
I was buying that all the time. Yeah,
the new version, the all new, all different X-Men. Alpha Flight was coming out. Did I say Thor? Thor was in the middle of that, 30-issue epic of Ragnarok and all that stuff. It was just fantastic. Power Pack was coming out. I mean, just so many fantastic comics and creators.
So that would be the golden age of comics for you.
That's my golden age.
Your golden age, yeah.
So, Ben, do you think it holds up?
The ones that I read during that time and have gone back to after that time, I do think hold up. There's just something different about the storytelling. It was just a fun, big, exciting time for Marvel Comics where they were just doing.
The new universe came out in 86 too.
And what?
The new universe.
We're not going to get into that.
We're not going to.
I would say that from the ones I know hold up, because I used to have X Factors. I had a Fantastic Four when it went from Thing to She-Hulk. Now, I didn't know that there was an alternate universe because I kept on trying to figure out why in the world that happened.
Yeah, because of Secret Wars.
Yeah, John Byrne's Fantastic Four in that area, too.
In Spider-Man, this changing of his clothes was also... I have several of those in the comics that I have in there. In fact, the comic books that I own today, most of them are within that time frame. So I would say they definitely hold up.
It was a fun time to read. Yeah. And yeah. So.
And Ben?
Okay. Yours? My number one is Superman the movie. And I just watched it yesterday. I think it's actually better watching it as an adult than I did when I was a kid. And this is a movie that that's been a part of my life since I was three. I mean, I went and saw this in the theater with my dad and a group of people from his work. And ever since then, Superman's been a favorite character of mine, although he's rarely done right. But in this movie, what I realized is, you know what destroys this movie is the sequels. Because everyone complains that Superman's too powerful. And they're right. If you take this movie as a single unit, though, it's okay. Because he doesn't know how powerful he is until the end of the movie. And the whole idea of the movie is it's a series of vignettes. It's a series of, you know, it starts out, and it's three different movies. It's a Krypton movie, it's a Smallville movie, and it's a Metropolis movie. And it stands alone nicely, I think. If you're able to look at it and say, okay, this is just about from baby to godhood. That's what this movie is. You're following Superman until he becomes a god who can travel through time. He's so powerful that if he wants to stop something, he can just travel through time and fix it. You know, he has to get really pushed to that edge to do it. Right. But so anyway, I was watching it last night and really, really enjoying myself and realizing even the goofy stuff, it's fun and you're okay with it because it's Christopher Reeve. Now, Superman 2, I'm going to watch all these movies, all the Superman movies before Man of Steel comes out, just because I want to. Superman 2 is...
Just because I want to.
Yeah. I don't think I'll ever go back and watch Superman 3 or 4 again, but I'm using this excuse. Well, that's just it. You know, Superman 3 and Superman 4, I liked them when I was a kid. Because it was still Christopher Reeve, and Christopher Reeve was Superman. And in those movies, he's still acting like Superman. The movie itself is not acting like a Superman story, but he's trapped in, you know, this movie is all, it's a clown car. You know, it's just what's goofy thing after goofy thing after goofy thing. But this first movie, I really do, looking at it as an adult, understanding some of the things I'm seeing far better than I did as a child. As a child, it inspired me, and as an adult, it still was inspiring. It's not a perfect movie, but I do definitely think it holds up. And I recommend it to people who like, you know, a good story, a solid story.
Yeah.
Once you bring in Superman 2, I'm glad they didn't do their original plan to make Superman 1 and Superman 2, you know, like this just one long story. And I'm kind of glad that they had the problem with Richard Donner so that they had to like go back and reshoot some of the Superman 2 stuff and give Superman 1 a bigger and better ending. Because as a single movie, I think it really works well. But when you add in Superman 2 and then especially 3 and 4, it's just you get problem on top of problem. So... Yeah, what do you guys think? Do you think it holds up?
Yeah.
I think it does. I think it's one of the best comic book movies ever made. I mean, yeah, top five.
And another connection to one of yours on your list, Dr. Jace. Do you know what it is?
The Smurfs?
No, the director of Goonies directed Superman.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, we need to get going. If you do want to get a hold of us and leave us a message, please call us at 1-804-37-ALIEN. We love hearing from you. We've heard from a couple people about things that change sci-fi for you. We are going to be in April putting together an episode that's a listener-created episode. We really would like your input. We would like you to call us, leave a voicemail about, you know, sci-fi. It's just something that caused sci-fi to be deeper for you than just the visceral fun action of it. Or maybe it didn't. You know, leave us a message and tell us that it never did. And let us know that. I mean, just tell us why you don't think that it is something more than that. You can also record an MP3 file on your computer and send that to us. Send that to our email, podcast@strangersandaliens.com. If you're going to send us a you send it file or a send space or whatever you know, you use to send larger files, then that's the email address you'd send it to, podcast@strangersandaliens.com. Our Facebook is also something that we've been doing a lot of stuff on. So it's facebook.com/strangersandaliens. And I think that said, we are... do you guys have any last words?
Felger Carb.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Godspeed.
You've been listening to the Strangers and Aliens podcast, hosted by Ben Avery, Steve MacDonald, and Dr. Jace O'Neill. Our music was composed and mixed by Tim Leffel. Please join in the conversation by visiting our website, strangersandaliens.com, where you will find show notes, articles, reviews, and more. You can also email us directly at podcast@strangersandaliens.com, or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/strangers, or you can leave us a voicemail on the Strangers and Aliens hotline. Just call 1-804-37-ALIEN and leave your message. And once again, thanks for listening.
You can sort of see through it now because it could have been a standalone movie and a George Lucas was sort of setting it up for that eventuality. Can you hear me? Can anyone hear me? 1, 2, 3.
I hear you.
Anyone hear me? Okay.
I can hear you.
Okay.
Okay. Why did you say hello?
Because I couldn't hear anybody for a while.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe it was just me talking and you just sort of zoned out again.
It's possible. I could have dozed off.
All right. So you don't think it holds up, which I'm... The other thing for me with Star Wars that kind of makes it nostalgic is after Return of the Jedi, when it was looking like we weren't sure if there were going to be any more Star Wars movies, and then when it was looking like there weren't going to be at all, they still went on for, you know, a couple dozen issues.
3-4 years.
What is that noise? It sounds like someone's snorting something.
I have a cold, so I'm blowing my nose every once in a while.
Let us know, and we can... you can also mute your mic.
I'm trying to turn my
head away. You've got a mute button on your mic.
Okay, I'll mute it next time.
I thought you were snorting something on the table or something. That's what it sounded like.
Okay, now I've got some editing to do. But anyway... Those were, especially the ones right after Return of the Jedi, were really interesting to me because